we have another dynamic duo for you. Extremely excellent educators, these two, and hosts of the supremely popular podcast, Syntax. So they are here to host a very special episode, live and in person, on stage. Please put your hands together for Scott Dolinsky and Wes Bach!
You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Dolinsky and Wes Boss.
This episode is sponsored by three amazing companies. We're talking about Sentry, FreshBooks, and Payments Hub. We'll be talking about all of those throughout the course of the show. So thank you to our sponsors for sponsoring.
All right. How's everybody doing? Enjoying it? Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much for coming out. This is super exciting. We have a podcast called Syntax, and we do two plus three. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. On Mondays, we have a podcast called A Hasty Treat. It's kind of focused on JavaScript, HTML, CSS, Node, soft skills, everything, web development. So Hasty Treat on a Monday. We do like a 20-minute episode, something nice and short.
On Wednesdays, we do a Tasty Treat, which is our longer breakdowns into all sorts of topics, really. It's super educational, but also a lot of fun.
And just now, you're going to know that we are releasing a third weekly episode called The Supper Club. Yeah, it's going to be all interviews with people. We don't do a ton of interviews, and some people are much smarter than us, so we thought we'd bring on some people, so buckle up for that. We didn't see earlier, but does anyone actually listen to the podcast here? A couple people? Okay, good. That was much better than... Because we were standing behind that thing, and it was just like, anyone listen? And it was just like... Oh, boy.
My name is Scott Dolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. You can find me at S. Dolinsky on Twitter and everywhere, and at Level Up Tutorials.
Sorry, did anyone else get beer as part of their presentation? I don't think so. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. My name is Wes Boss. I'm from Canada. That's why I say JavaScript funny. Whoa, hey, Canadians!
Canadians!
Yes, Canadians make the best developers. I'm at Wes Boss on Twitter, mostly Instagram as well. Today is a live podcast, and the plan for today is...
Well, the first thing we're going to be doing is we're going to warm you up with some JavaScript hot take tweets.
Then we're going to a new section. We've never done this before. It's called Kicking It Old School. We're going to go back to who's been a developer for over 10 years here.
Oh, wow. All right.
Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up for that one. Then we're going to do syntax error, where Wes and I have sneakily put in some syntax errors into some code, and we're going to try to stump each other with where those syntax errors live. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Then we have a very popular segment called JS or NAS, where we talk about is it a JavaScript library or something completely different, like a carbon fiber road bike or...
And you'll be able to vote. So we'll have everyone voting in the audience.
Y'all got phones?
We're going to try. Yeah, y'all got phones. We're going to try to trick you on some fun JS libraries.
And then we're going to wrap it up with Q&A. So if you have any questions about literally anything, life, love, JavaScript.
Barbecue,
breakdancing.
Yeah.
We will answer it confidently, even if we don't even know what we're doing.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
The URL for today, if you have your phone, we have a Q&A coming up. Feel free to drop your Q's and A's anytime at pigeonhole.at/sick. QR code. QR codes have been around for like 12 years, and everyone always thought they're dumb. Pandemic?
Epic comeback.
The unsung hero of the pandemic was the QR code. So pretty stoked about that. All right. We're going to start off with some hot take tweets. I asked people on Twitter, we all love to trash talk all day on Twitter, right? what is your unpopular opinion or what's your hot take in web development and JavaScript in general? So we're going to go through them all and attempt to answer them all. So first one we have here is NaN was a mistake. Any operation that yields NaN should simply throw an error. And this one had me go... I never even thought about that. It's true.
Like NaN. Yeah.
Because if you get to NaN, something went wrong, you know,
it's not number.
And maybe you should have checked if it was a number first. Right.
Yeah. Maybe.
So that's kind of interesting. Not sure what I think about that, but hot take.
Hot take.
Next one is, putting all the imports at the top of each file makes code extra harder to read, navigate, and refactor. It just adds to jumping around in the file to see what something is or where it's used. And I collapse all mine anyways. I do a region collapse on there. So
interesting.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I agree.
But I don't like them.
So here, I was refactoring a whole bunch of common JS, and I was just putting my requires right before I needed them. And not always, but in some of my files. And then it's like, no, you can't do that anymore. Mm. So how many of you think you would like to put imports anywhere that you want?
Anywhere you want. Of you. Just yeah. Anywhere, yeah.
Well, it's a hot take for a reason, folks.
Semicolons should not be optional. No, I don't use semicolons. Who needs semicolons?
I'm wondering if this guy thinks semicolons should not be there at all. Like the option should be don't have them or entirely. I'm gonna go. I agree. You should enforce them.
Enforce them not being there.
You people that don't use semicolons, how do you sleep at night?
I don't use them. I sleep fine.
Can't do it. No. The next one, for loops are not needed. Boo. Okay, well, let's get the audience. What do you think about this? Boo. Okay, so I followed up to this tweet. I'm like, you mean like the for i++ one, right? And he's like, no, like all of them, like for of, for in, for regular ass, for. And I was like, no, because like a for loop is like, you ever try to async away inside of a map or for each? Sucks. It sucks. I know you can do the reduce thing where you return a promise of the next one and like, no way to live your life.
No.
You should not be doing that. You can't break early from a for each. For loops, I love for loops. I don't think they're used often enough. People are too hardcore about making everything an array method. What do you think? I'm fired up.
I don't use them that much, but I use them enough where it's like, yeah, okay, you know, I don't need them, but they're there, and I can use them if I want.
You don't need them.
I don't need them to be.
Who needs for loops? All right, let's go hang out after.
All right, next one. People that are excited about for static typing in native JS weren't there for, or just forgot or blacked out ES4 Harmony and its chaos. Yeah, there was a lot of, ES5 took what, like a billion years?
Yeah, we should explain for the folks that weren't around for that. It took like, I don't know, how many years did it take to get ES5 out the door or Harmony?
It was a huge deal when it came around.
Yeah, and they just canceled it at some point. So I think that our standards process is better. Like we've seen a lot more come out the door. So I disagree. I think if we're getting static typing in JavaScript, it'll go a bit smoother.
I like
maybe types. Microsoft will just do it for us.
Yep.
Who thinks we should get types in JavaScript?
Wow.
Yeah. Who doesn't think we should get types in JavaScript?
Okay.
Get out.
You're done.
This episode is sponsored today by Sentry at Sentry.io. Sentry is the perfect place to see all of the errors and exceptions and all sorts of things on your site, but mostly it's a tool for understanding what your users are experiencing on your site at any given time, because this gives you tools to see what kind of bugs are happening, which pages are slow, what's going on, where are the issues on your site, and you can attach them quickly to issues, assign them to users, make sure these things get done, fixed, improved upon, or any of that stuff. And Sentry is one of those tools that works with everything you know and love and has been around for a long time. We love Sentry over here, and I've personally been using it for a very long time. Long before we did this podcast, I've been a big fan of Sentry. So what we want you to do is head on over to Sentry at Sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase and all one word. And what you're going to do is you're going to get 2 months for free of Sentry's amazing services. So go ahead and give them a try, plug it in with your app, and then just be amazed as you get to find out about the bugs that happen on your site happen before your users email you saying there was something wrong. Thank you to Sentry for a sponsor.
A good website.
Website. That's what you make, right? Website.
That's what I make. Shitesites.net. Hit me up. A good website should function without JavaScript. Forms should work without JS. And accessibility should not be broken when JS does not load. Interesting thoughts, Scott.
Not that hot of a take.
Not that hot of a take.
But I do like JavaScript. I primarily like JavaScript.
I think the form thing, absolutely. Because like form, like we looked at it in Kent's talk yesterday, like forms are already built into the browser and into the server, you know, like we got it already, you know, and like you can
but
step
not
in
that
there.
Much fun. You don't have animations or, you know.
No, but like you can use like most of that and then just add a little sprinkle of whatnot. But I don't know.
I don't know.
I think that JavaScript is a pillar of the web.
Yeah.
And turning it off, you're going to have a bad time.
Bad time in 2022.
Yeah.
Classes were a mistake. I got no problem with classes. I don't use them, but I got no beef with them.
Yeah, and I don't like classes didn't add anything to the language, right? It just was
sugar.
It's just sugar.
Yeah.
I like sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really use them all that much, but not.
we're laughing cuz we could have filled this whole talk with Brian LaRue hot take tweets.
Is Brian here?
He's here tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. I've been saying this for years, but I think the best way to build an app is to stay as close to the platform primitives as possible and not transpiling. I remember Brian was very outspoken when Babel came, and he's like, no, we're just doing ES5 until you can support it. Folks bias to ESM, or folks should bias ESM web components, progressive enhancement, tide is shifting. I kind of agree. I don't think I'm going to ever like totally let go of my build step, but like that's why we're pushing for standards and platform primitives is maybe one day we won't.
I like my magic.
If we can get types in JavaScript,
I like a little bit of magic.
A little bit of magic, yeah. Mr. Svelte over here.
Yeah. TypeScript is overrated and overhyped.
Next one.
We got some claps going.
Hold on, we got too many of these. Let's go through here a couple more.
All right,
let's move on to the next section. Kicking it. Oh, we'll go back to that. We could talk about hot takes all day long.
Yeah, we can talk
all day long. Kicking it old school. All right. This is the section of the show where we are going to ask you folks to come up. We are going to show you some code from the last 10 to 15 years, and you're going to have to guess, what does this code do?
What's it do?
What does it do? And if you, I got stickers. I'll give you a free course. Scott probably give you a free course. Whatever you want. Maybe some of this, we can just make up, guess. Free Hasura for 10 years.
Yeah. I'm joking.
That's not real. Unless they want to. So folks who want to try to win at this game, please line up over here. Come on down. Don't be shy.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Okay. So we have a hot mic here. Test.
Hot mic.
Yes, you are first. Okay, what does this line of code do?
Specifically, the first and last lines where you pass
not the
in jQuery.
In.
Not the middle line.
The fade in self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Calls the interior code with jQuery as the context. I mean, it's like an immediately invoked function, right? So you're passing jQuery in to be consumed from the function itself and only in the function itself.
Pretty close, but why did we do this?
So that you can't modify jQuery and then have like some kind of like attack on it, I guess, or like so that your jQuery is like specific to the context that you're calling the function in.
I think that's pretty close. So
that's the close.
Reason,
yeah.
The
everybody give him a hand, actually, yeah.
Is, yes. Back in the day, we had the dollar sign would be, cops coming.
They heard that TypeScript hot take.
Yeah, I've seen that, the Border Patrol show. They're coming to get the Canadian. The reason we did this is because there was multiple libraries that had the global dollar sign variable in jQuery days. Other libraries used the dollar sign. So by passing in the jQuery object, it would then rename itself as an argument to dollar sign, and then you could use it freely inside of that function without worrying about some other library that used the dollar sign. So it's no longer global variable.
Let's get some stickers out here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's shiny.
Forgot the first semicolon.
Thank you.
In front of the FE.
Oh. that's a joke for people that use semicolons. They used to put the semicolon instead of, in front of the iffy because they don't use semicolons. Bizarre way to live your life again.
All right. What does this code do?
That's a good question.
What's the purpose of it?
Maybe this is one of those futuristic APIs that we heard about in the talk.
It's Zoom 1 for everybody listening on audio.
Zoom 1. I don't know. Maybe they added this in 2020, like from the Zoom company?
No. Okay. It's good. This is from, what, 10, 15 years ago?
I don't know. I'm lost.
All right, folks. What is it? Anybody know? It forces layout. In IE. Wow. Mr. Moo Tools himself. What? That's coming. You need to understand. Oh, because, yeah, that's the next one, okay. Next one.
Next one. Come on up. Why did we need a PNG fix?
Why did we need PNG fix?
I'm going to be honest. 15 years ago, I was like 10. So. but I have seen this before working on IE. Compatibility for stuff in like 2017. So,
wow.
But I legit don't remember. It's probably like, I see filter. So it probably has to do with transparencies.
Oh, nailed it.
Yes.
So this was to add. Yeah, I'll give him a clap.
Yeah.
That's good.
Some good deduction.
Today's youth. Yeah. So this, the PNG fix was a little library you could add. And IE6 did not support transparent PNGs, so they had a white background. So by adding a 1 pixel by 1 pixel blank GIF and applying this bizarre set of
code to it.
I don't understand how it worked, but it made transparent PNGs have a transparent background in IE6.
All right.
Come on up.
Nicholas,
what
does this code do?
Oh, jeez. All right. All right, let's see. Swap image.
Yeah, this is probably the hardest one. Sorry, Nicholas. No,
it's okay. Looks like it's affecting the source object of or the source for the image.
Yeah,
we got an array.
The name of this one was also very popular function name you would see on Vue Source a lot.
I'll make a guess.
Yes,
but I'm guessing this is wrong. Is this something having to do with maybe like lazy loading and having a preview image before and then changing to a different image after?
I don't think we thought too much about lazy loading then.
Yeah, it's not actually. It doesn't lazy load, but you pretty much have it.
Yeah.
So this was the code that was generated by MM, stands for Macromedia. This was the code generated from Dreamweaver.
Oh, wow.
That before we had hover states in CSS, if you had a button you wanted to change the background on, you literally had to change the source object of an image or the source of a background image. And what that would do is it would take a sec. Do you remember the load? And it would have to like download, and then you would get the background of that button. And then as you hovered it, it would go pretty wild times.
Yeah, wild times.
Yeah.
All right. What is the name of this technique, and what's the purpose of this? Do you have any idea?
Don't give him stickers yet, Scott.
Well, hey, I'm just handing them out.
Another Scott.
Oh, it's up, Scott.
Yeah, loading.
Oh, the mic. Scott, Mike, give him the mic.
Oh, the mic. I thought it was like somebody named Mike.
No.
Where's Mike? His name's Scott.
All right, so we're selecting a list item in the header.
The important part is the background. The background images and the background anchoring of these two selectors. Why are we doing it this way?
All right. So it's a GIF background.
GIF?
Hey, the guy just died and on his deathbed.
Yeah, he's
GIF. Really?
Yeah. So.
Okay, I'll give him that.
And that's in the right.
Yes.
On the left, we've got it the same thing with padding. I'm not sure.
What's this called, folks?
Anyone got the name?
Did we stump the entire audience? Sliding doors.
Yeah,
who said it?
Sliding doors.
Yeah. Yes. So sliding doors was before we had background gradients and rounded corners. If you wanted to have a button or a link, and you wanted for that to extend much wider, then you would make a very, very long, longer than you could possibly ever need button for the right-hand side. And then you would anchor that on the right, and then you would get like the end cap of that button and stick it on the right hand or the left hand side, and it would overlap. That's why like the anchor link that was inside of the list item. And that would be called sliding doors. So if you had a short link dog, it would be a very small button. You had a very long
dog
button, it would extend to it. And at a certain point, if you had too long of a button, you'd run out of background image because you couldn't repeat it.
Yeah.
Because it was anchored.
Yep. Man, the things we did before, border radius or drop shadows.
All right, so this one is, why are we doing the second line? Var that equals this. And I should say, this is not like old. Like, we still do this sometimes.
Man, this is going to be hard, but...
That's not my real voice, but my brother.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a good voice.
Oh, hey, well,
my brother wanted me to use it. He's going to watch this live stream.
I love it.
It is too hard to maintain that.
That deep voice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but...
That's good. We should get him to do the intro.
So this, what is it doing? I started in 2016, so this should be familiar. We're not in arrow functions time yet.
You're getting warmer. Yeah.
You're pretty close there with arrow functions.
Yeah. Arrow functions.
Okay. It's we want to make. Oh shoot! There's a confusing that again. This and that. I remember. I won't give a general answer. It's to maintain the right this context.
Nailed it.
Good one. Nice.
So when you create a new function, this context is rebound to that function. So what do you use now to get away from this? An arrow function. Good.
Love it.
All right. Well, we need more people.
How many more we got left so we can...
One, two, three. Three. All right. Three more people real quick. Come on down. These ones are easy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What do these three selectors do? Underscore padding, star padding, and padding 10px/9.
This is a cruel one.
Yes.
Well, the first one is obvious.
Yeah, first one's obvious, just padding 10px.
I'm not sure about the second one. I think the third one is for IE.
Yep.
And the last one, I think only new browsers will know how to
just
parse.
Pretty close. So it's the underscore is IE6. Star, and there's actually a whole list of like 10 of them, is IE6 and 7. And then the /9 is 6, 7, and 8. So if you had to, you would likely put different values in here because it didn't look the same on the same browsers and you needed to tweak it a little bit here or there. So... Thankfully,
I think
those days.
When in doubt, you could probably just answer IE for most of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Oh, this one is very tricky. I apologize in advance for this one. What does this if statement test for?
Oh no. Regex is a bad time.
Yes,
regex
is a bad
of the
time.
Word function dot test array dot sort empty array dot sort.
Are we trying to figure out if the object being targeted is an array?
No.
No.
That would be a very sane guess.
This one's particularly cool.
Should I say it? Does anyone know?
See, if you have sort in the browser.
If you have sort in the browser, no. It's testing for Opera. The browser Opera.
Rude.
Yes. What?
Francis, you can have that.
Who figured that out? Who figured that out? And the funny thing is that Opera back in the day had an entire style sheet and JavaScript file that would fix popular websites. So people would say, my bank website's broken on Opera. This is before Opera used the engine, same as Chrome. And it would... They would just fix websites. They would just like monkey patch all these websites to make it work on Opera.
Are you going to sing a little Opera for us?
I would love to hear that.
Well, let me finish that beer first.
All right, John.
This is the last one. Why is there a bang inside in front of this function? And this is coming from the original Twitter Bootstrap.
That one, I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Anyone know?
Nope.
No. It's apparently another way to do an iffy. Instead of the parentheses, you can just put a bang in front of it and you can run it again. I had no idea.
Yeah, I know. Bootstrap.
Beautiful. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have tons more stickers. I just can't leave them around. So come hit me up. I'll give you more. Let's talk about one of our sponsors, Payments Hub. They are an easy-to-use API and SDK that allow developers to create e-commerce websites, develop in-person point-of-sale applications, and launch fully featured omni-channel payment solutions. They have an API-rich product landscape for partners that are interested in programmatic merchant onboarding and accessing payment transactions through API. So if you're building, of course, if you're building, you're accepting money, but if you're building an app that needs other people to accept money, or you need to be able to onboard users and they have to submit their own banking information, you need to onboard them, all of that stuff, that sounds pretty complicated. And that payment, that's what Payments Hub does. They give you the APIs to do all of that. And it's pretty awesome. You want to check it out at developer.paymentshub.com/syntax. And you can see the integration payment processing APIs. They can onboard you in as little as 90 minutes. It's pretty sweet. I went through all of their documentation myself. I even sent them this is funny thing that happens with sponsors. I send them, like, I feel like I know our audience pretty well. So I was like, hey, you should update one of their documentation didn't have fetch in it. I was like, you should show a fetch example. I know our listeners would love that because we talk about that all the time. So it's pretty good SDK. You got to check it out. developer.paymentshub.com/syntax. Thank you, Payments Hub, for sponsoring. Next section is syntax error. We show each other code with no syntax highlighting, and the other person must figure out what's wrong with it.
We were cruel to you, and now we are cruel to each other.
All right.
Wes, what is wrong with this code? This is TypeScript, in case you're wondering. What's wrong with this code?
The Fs, you can do 8 Fs because of transparency.
So anyone wondering, you can do 8 Fs there because...
transparency
and hex transparency value. And hex. Okay, it's a good little red herring.
You didn't initialize your last two variables?
No. If I did, no. Those are just... No, those are just... declaring the type.
Let's size number. who sees it?
I had to turn syntax highlighting off on this one.
Really?
On purpose, so yes. The syntax highlighting would have revealed.
All right. Tell me.
All right. Well, the error is on line number 8. What's wrong with line number 8?
Oh, float is not a type.
Yeah, float is not a type.
All right, Scott.
Oh, this is itty bitty.
No, sorry about that.
Okay.
I tried to make it a bit harder.
Export default. The first thing I'm looking for is misspelled words, which I'm not particularly.
Right. That's not the case in this one. I'll give you.
Okay, awaiting. Callback is a callback. It's just being executed. Objects, status code headers.
This is from a Netlify serverless function.
Okay.
Which I don't think that helps
right.
at all.
The error is on the very last line of the code. It is a curly, and we need a parenthesis.
Nailed it! Wow,
yeah.
Very good, impressive. Yeah,
thank you, sir.
All right, for Wes.
All right, this one is
oh my gosh, Scott, these are too hard.
I'm sorry, this one's actually really not hard.
If iframe ref equals
just do line by line, you'll find it.
Return.
Don't worry.
You didn't put a semicolon there.
Where did I not put a semicolon?
Everywhere.
Where?
If iframe L dot hidden equals. You put the arrow inside of the quote of destroy.
No, that's a string.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's just a console log. Okay. You use this fancy font with the arrows. L that parent node, L that parent node. There's one extra curly bracket.
Oh, don't.
There's not.
I was going to say there's even curly bracket highlighting on this one.
Oh, this is too hard.
All right.
Tell me.
The error is on line number 8 once again.
Okay. Oh, there's no con. I was skipping over the console log. Because I was like, oh, like I just, when I'm debugging, I'll skip the console log because it's like probably not that.
It's the console log. I got it.
All right. So this one I gave you. highlighting because it's so tricky.
Yeah, you folks. Well, okay, so to some background here, I was going to go somewhat easy on
these. Yeah, maybe we should have.
And Wes was like, I got one that's pretty cruel. And I was like, okay, then, let's work on this.
This is TypeScript.
TypeScript. I mean, you're
doing stuff you probably shouldn't be doing.
Right. So you're saying the title is a string of my first post as the type? No, you're not. That's you're
destructuring
yeah. a default value of a man. Okay. God.
Isn't it nuts that we can do this?
Stupid.
In JavaScript, like you're like, oh, like why is the syntax like this? Because people do this.
This is stupid. Just, yeah.
It's just not right.
Just not right. All right. So.
Who sees it?
You.
Two, three people.
No.
Very good TypeScripters.
Very good TypeScripters. This one's tough to see.
Yeah. Should we ask the audience?
All right. Who's got this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so the type has to go before the assignment.
Nailed it. So the type right here, it needs to go before the fallback assignment of the structured data. That's the EA.
Okay.
But like, why would you not just make the type outside that function? All right. We are going to do audience participation now. You don't have to come up this time. You open up your phone, go to pigeonhole.at/sick, and we are going to...
JS or nay S. Yes. So the general premise of this is that we will give you... we'll give you the name of a JavaScript library that exists on NPM, or... we'll give you the name of something.
Yes.
And you have to determine if it's a JavaScript library that exists on NPM.
Yeah.
Or
something else.
Or both.
This is awesome. Shout out to Pigeonhole. They give it to us for free every time we do it. This is an awesome app that's all built on WebSockets. It's amazing.
Okay, 109.
And everybody live streaming at home, you can play along as well.
So,
Bcrypt. Is it an offline first crypto wallet built in Python?
Or is it a password hashing library for Node?
Or both?
Or both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have, get those votes in. All right. Just about everyone is in. There's more votes than participants. Okay, well,
we'll just do it from here. How many did you get?
Okay, so 8.4% said it's an offline-first crypto wallet. 68% of you got this correct. It is a password hashing library for Node.js. Okay, next one. Oh, court. Here, we can say reveal.
Oh, reveal.
Voting has ended.
Yeah.
Oh, I had it. Yeah.
69% said it was a password hashing library for Node.js. Okay. Good job.
All right, next one. Cherrybox. Is this an HTML canvas utility library?
Or a cherry store in Traverse City, Michigan?
Or both?
There we go. Now we're working. 61 votes.
There we go.
All right, reveal that sucker.
All right, the answer's coming. Get it in. Oh,
14%. Oh, knew it. What is it right? It is an HTML canvas util lib.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cherry stores in Traverse City, but I don't know if Cherrybox is one of them.
Tokens.com. Is it a Web3 focused crypto investment platform?
An online auth and permissions control SaaS.
Or both. Oh, you can see I'm streaming it live. Yeah, let's look at this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can see them coming in. All right. Let's reveal.
Only 29% of you knew it was a Web3 focused crypto investment. So we fooled everyone. Doesn't that sound like a Auth0 competitor or something like that, you know? Oh, yeah, I'm using tokens.com. Like, sick, you know? It's not.
All right, next one is Pachycephalosaurus. Is this a dinosaur that headbutts?
Or a package to patch other packages? Or both. Oh, I'm impressed at this one.
Yeah, me too.
Folks.
Get those votes in.
Some smart folks in this audience here.
Although, It's getting good. This one's going to be really close. All right, I'm going to reveal. Get those answers in. Correct. Oh. It's just a dinosaur that headbutts things. It's got a big old stony plate on that
head. Isn't that a good name for a package that would, like, monkey patch? Like,
yeah.
You know, you have, like, a node package. You're like, oh, damn. Like, you have to open the node modules and, like, just edit the code.
Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Better get on
yeah,
that.
But, like,
yeah.
If it was, you know how, like, Racked Helmet is built by the NFL?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was, like, built by the Smithsonian or, like, a dinosaur museum?
Dinosaur museum.
So, anyone work at a dinosaur museum? None. Wow.
That's surprising.
Wow.
Yeah.
None. I would have thought at least three.
All right. Next one is Remux.
Is it a React package to integrate Mux videos?
A term for migrating a video container without re-encoding the quality.
Or both. we can see the number streaming in as you're getting it wrong.
All right, get those votes in. All right. Reveal time.
Yeah.
It is just a term for re-encoding 65%
video. 65% of you knew it's a term for re-encoding.
That video. Seems like it could be a library.
That was one where I just made it up. I was like, Remux, that's got to be a package. Yeah. It's not. I don't think so.
They're combining words. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, next one, Figgy Pudding. Is this a JS library for managing and composing cascading options objects?
Or an actual dense, moist cake?
Or both. Everybody loves Figgy Pudding. I mean, I don't. Has anybody seen Figgy Pudding? Who's seen Figgy Pudding? I've never even seen one. I just know it from the song.
What's Figgy Pudding?
Well, it's in that song.
What song?
The Christmas song. Bring out some Figgy Pudding.
Oh, yeah. Na, 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 yeah. Na, na. Oh, yeah. I know.
I've never seen a Figgy Pudding.
What do we got here?
It's both.
27% didn't know it was both. What a name for a library. That's a great name.
And why do you... Cascading...
It's amazing that...
It actually had like a million downloads, too. I'd never heard of this thing.
It's amazing that like we're professionals, and this is the name of stuff that we're we're using to like... Like, we're running banks, and like this is the stuff we're using.
Hold on, I just need to install Figgy Pudding and be right on that.
Squamish. Is it a small town logging town in British Columbia, Canada?
An Nginx package for adding HTTP3 compression.
Or both.
That's a lot of words to say. All right.
This is really fun to see the...
I love seeing the stream.
Stream in,
yeah.
WebSockets, man.
Alrighty, gonna reveal. It's just a small.
50% of you. It is a small. I'm not sure how small it is, but it's a town in British Columbia.
I think you can assume if there's Canadian towns in this.
It's small. It's Squamish.
All right, Hajime. Is this a full service, self hosted GraphQL database backed by Redis?
Or a short winged swan?
Or both? Hajime.
Oh, man, this one's... People are unsure.
People are unsure, yes.
Maybe we should allow people to change their votes. There's an option that
that's an option?
Change. Yeah, because then you can see it like go up and down.
Okay. Reveal time coming in.
What do we got?
That's just a swan.
It's just a swan. Although that's a great name.
It's a great name.
For a package.
You got a logo built in.
Yeah. It's true. Short winged swan. Last one we have here, TreeAct. Is it a vanilla DOM re-rendering engine for existing content heavily inspired by React?
Is it a hashtag for the controversial straight cut logging operation in Ontario?
Or both?
Get those votes in. Get those votes in. Reveal time.
Let's see it. Boom! 43% of you got it right. It is a vanilla DOM re-rendering engine for existing content, heavily inspired by React.
Yes, it is, and it is not...
It is not a hashtag for controversial straight-cut logging operation in Toronto. 23.6% of you.
Let's talk about one of our sponsors, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the cloud accounting solution for your small business. You're going to get paid faster. You're going to spend less time doing your books. They are the easy to use accounting and bookkeeping software that you need to check out. Go to freshbooks.com/syntax, and that's going to give you a 30-day unrestricted free trial. You don't even need a credit card to sign up. Thank you, FreshBooks, for sponsoring.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Let's move on to the next section. Q&A. If you've got cues, you gotta display the cues to me, Scott.
Oops.
If you got a question for us, feel free to come line up. You want our thoughts on anything, or you want us to try to explain something to
questions
you?
About the podcast,
questions about how Canada is,
how long you should smoke your meats.
Yeah, smoking meats.
So Wes, you said you are very much in favor of for loops.
Yeah.
Versus using like array methods.
I heavily use array methods, but there's some times where people make array methods harder than they have to be, or a for loop would save your butt. Mm. Sorry, go ahead.
So my brother just started as a junior engineer.
Yeah.
And he went through your JavaScript 30 course.
Yeah.
And he was using .foreach for everything.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to him about like how it doesn't work with await and so forth. And so, yeah, then I heard your comment about, oh, yeah, for loops. And I'm like, wait, what's
going on here? Am I just saying the wrong stuff all the time? Yeah, so I will reach for a for each or a map or whatever by default when it's an array. But when it comes time to doing a sync away or having to modify a variable or an object that is outside of the loop or anything like that, then I'm a big fan of for loops. I'm not like, oh, for loops for life. I love everything. But I think people say, no, for loops are bad. You know, use array methods
They're
for
considered
everything.
Harmful.
They're considered harmful, you know? Like, I saw a talk on it. So, thank you. All right, we got a question here. What web tech do you think is overhyped right now, and which is underhyped? Oh. Interesting. Overhyped. That's a jerk thing to say.
Yeah.
Because like people work hard on this stuff, and what I've learned in my career is that there are so many different use cases for something. And when I don't like something, it's probably because I don't understand why somebody needs something, or like somebody it clearly has a problem, and they say this is how I would like to solve it, or within our company. So.
I agree. Yeah.
Totally. That's kind of a non-answer. Which one's underhyped? We can talk about that.
I like, here's a library that not a lot of people know about is Mercurius, is a GraphQL Node.js library, like an alternative to Apollo or something like that. It's done by Matteo, who does all sorts of Node.js stuff, and it's awesome. It rules. It has data loader built in. It has caching built in.
Yeah.
It works with Redis really well. It's fantastic, and it works actually with CodeGen really well, too. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Mercurius. Underhyped.
Underhyped. Can we get a live breakdancing performance?
I got a microphone on here. I'm gonna ruin the microphone.
Oh, so no, I guess. Do it. Do a little. Whoa! Folks at home, the glasses went flying. I don't know where they went. I can't believe you did that.
Thank
That's
you.
Unreal.
I was trying to think, what can I do without ruining the microphone?
I could do that too, but nobody asked me. Would you rather have to switch to Dvorak or have to use a MacBook Butterfly keyboard?
That's
the one with the crumb gets underneath and it's you throw it out.
You know what right? I did? I switched my phone to Dvorak. And not my computer, and that was a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. I would love to switch to a different keyboard layout at some point, but like I just don't got the time for that. Ain't got the time.
Yep.
So maybe at one point I'll do it. So what would I rather do? I would rather use the MacBook Butterfly keyboard, and you just don't eat Nature Valleys around it, and you're good.
Yeah. No Nature Valley. That's a good rule overall.
Yeah. Can you name all 13 provinces and territories in Canada? Scott, can you name them all?
The Northeast Territories? Northwest Territories? Is that it?
Northwest Territories.
Northwest Territories. Okay.
Nunavut.
Ontario.
Yukon. No, let's do it in order. Otherwise, we're going.
There's an order?
Yeah. Well, you got to go left to right.
There's an order.
BC. anybody from BC? Yeah. Ooh.
Quebec.
No, don't you guys. BC, Alberta, Manitoba. I skipped one. Oh, Saskatchewan. My wife is from Saskatchewan. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ontario, Quebec, Newfoundland. Oh my gosh, I don't know all the provinces. Can you name all the 50 states? I got all the territories though.
Can I name all? Maybe. Sure.
Nova Scotia, PEI. What am I missing? Yukon. No, I said Yukon. New Brunswick. Oh, yeah. That's where I'm
moving
right now.
New Brunswick, yeah.
Good. All right, next one. Favorite Syntax FM episode. What's your favorite one to do?
My favorite episode? I don't know. I liked the How to Learn Things Fast one I planned a lot.
That was a good one. I really like the fundamentals episodes that we've done. TypeScript fundamentals, CSS fundamentals, JavaScript fundamentals. Those are like good, like go back to listen to those. We had the Wordle guy on.
Oh, yeah.
And like he emailed us, which was really, really funny. And we were muting Wordle on Twitter.
Yeah, he couldn't reach us because we'd both had Wordle muted on Twitter.
That was a cool one. Yeah, these ones are really fun in person. Lots of good ones. Some of the upcoming like interview ones are really good. You get some really good insights from folks. And we also just talk shop about like keyboards and phones and whatnot. So it's good stuff.
Ryan asks, how did you first meet and what was your first collab? Wes and I met doing a mastermind group with a handful of people that we were just talking, basically ripping apart each other's
businesses.
And I think one of the sessions we had was make Scott cry about his landing page.
Yeah.
Because
we would meet like once every 2 weeks and just be like, hey, like, what are you doing for email and like landing pages and like what about like streaming bandwidth and random stuff? Because we both make tutorials and we were with Joel from Egghead and it was good. And then like when we kind of like ran that out after a year and a half, and then we're like, I was like, hey, Scott, like we should do a podcast. And actually how I met is that Scott released a course called React for Beginners.
Yes, I did.
On YouTube, which is the name of a course that I already had. And I emailed him. I was like, hey, mean guy.
I was like, who are you? What are you doing?
Like, can you not do that?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, sorry, man. And like, that was really cool because he could have been a jerk. I got to watch my language here.
Yeah.
He could have been a jerk and then we would never have started Syntax. So
life lesson. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. Yeah.
What's your favorite Trader Joe's snack?
Mochi bits. They're like crunchy.
Is that
mochi?
Like a short wing swan?
No, it's not a short wing. It's rice. They're like little rice bits, and they're crunchy, and they're super salty.
Mm.
And honestly, I'm a little salty because they didn't have them right before I left. That's like my airplane snack. And my wife went to Trader Joe's. She was like, no mochi bits.
My favorite. We don't have Trader Joe's in Canada.
What?
So we just get the peanut butter cups when we go and hot sauces and stuff like that. So not a whole lot. Oh, my gosh. There's thousands of questions. Do I have stickers? Yes. Would you hire an American or a European developer? European. You guys don't use metric and it drives me crazy. Oh, man, it was 85 degrees the other day. What does that mean?
You were just up here. Wes is like, it's a hot 20 degrees up here. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, can't do it. Use a metric system. Yeah. You probably don't use semicolons either, do you?
I don't. Yes, I don't.
What do we got? Let's see here. Brisket or pork? What's your take? Pork.
Brisket.
Really?
Pigs are really smart.
Pigs are smart?
They're very smart.
So, so it's like it's deeper than just taste.
It's deeper than taste, yes. Okay.
And cows aren't smart? You ever seen a happy cow? You ever see that? Where these farmers put these like big brushes on a spinner and the cows just go like,
I don't know. Happy cows. Isn't there like a cheese company called Happy Cow? Yeah.
And so like they have these things. And the cows just freaking love it. They're like, oh, itches.
So that makes him smart.
Yeah.
That makes the cow smart.
What kind of smart thing doesn't like a good itch?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So if like after today, go home, YouTube, cows that love itches or something like that.
I'm not going to do that.
It's great. What the Flexbox? Thank you.
What?
Birds. Thank you. Why will RN never be as fast as native apps? Ask the folks that were just talking about React Native. I don't know a whole bunch about that. Oh, somebody asked about BigInt. Let's see. What would you approach validating a product idea for building a small SaaS applications?
Talk to people.
Talk to people. Yeah, you gotta see what people are struggling with. That's the big thing, right? You gotta figure out what people are frustrated with and then just like, put something out and see if you get traction with it. That's kind of what I did with my videos at the first get-go is I just put a couple blog posts out there, a couple smaller videos, and eventually one of them's going to land, and that's the one that you got to sort of take it and run with. You can figure it out from there.
Yeah, and typically if you're having, like, problems, and you're solving problems that you are having. You know, maybe other people are having those problems too, and that's a good place to start.
Last question here, Henri.
Henri.
What are two podcasters listening to podcast-wise?
Oh. Scott, like, sick picks a podcast, like, every podcast.
Yeah.
What are we listening to?
I listen to, like, 18 hockey podcasts, so I don't know why so many. They all say the same thing over and over again.
I've been really liking the Steve-O podcast.
Oh, Steve-O, yeah.
From Jackass.
Yeah.
And so he has a van with all the recording gear in it, and he drives around and meets people, and he just, like, interviews, like, a lot of these old, like, skater types and... I don't know, some really cool
stories. The stories are always good, and he's always kind of dishing on some stuff that they, you know, risky stuff.
Yeah, he asked questions like, ooh, I can't believe he asked that. So, the Steve-O podcast, I think it's called the Steve-O Wild Ride. I've been super into that one lately.
Yeah.
But that is it. I think we're out of time here. Should we wrap this up?
Oh, wow, right at zero.
Yeah, that's it.
We just did it, yeah.
Wow. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. That was awesome. I got lots of stickers later. Come say hi, and I'll give you a pack.
Thank you. Yeah.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.